everyone, and welcome to our first podcast in our Going Deeper series. In these sessions, we'll take an in-depth look into some recent discussion points. And, you know, at the moment, obviously, a new community is fresh in our minds. Varna, James, thanks for joining us today. Let's talk about a new community. Obviously, we need constant reminding on what it means to be a true or a new community. Why is this, James?
I mean, I think one of the big reasons, certainly from my point of view, is that community, family, it kind of means something different to everyone. Not everyone came from a very functional family. When you talk about family, it could mean different things to different people, and so. Yeah, it's always good to look back at the Bible and what does the Bible teach? What did Jesus teach on what it means to be a true family and a spiritual family? So yeah, very very necessary to keep going back here, I think.
Sure. Family?
I don't have much to say on that. I mean, I think it's we need constant reminders of everything in life. We have good intentions and good ideas. Gravity pulls down, not up. We by nature head south, not north, and sometimes it just takes a good message or a series of messages or classes. I think particularly Michael Burns did a great had a great weekend with him to remind us about the call of who it is that God calls us to be. And I think also, in all honesty, I think that's why God gave us the Bible, is because we need to constantly reread these same things and be convicted over and over again to be encouraged and inspired to be that which He has called us to be.
You just spoke about Michael Burns now. He obviously had a great three-part message called God's Promised Family. What stood out for you guys of the Michael Burns weekend?
Well, one of the things that I certainly love about the weekend, about the Bible, about what he taught, and as you read the Bible as a whole, is that this promised family was God's intent from day one. Mm-hmm. That it was not something that happened later on down the line. It was something that God desired. It was right there in the beginning when Adam and Eve blew it. God knew what He was doing. And they knew that we wouldn't be able to do this by ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that one of the things He mentioned was that salvation is not even necessarily intended for the individual, but that salvation is intended in the family concept, meaning that we would get baptized not just into Christ, but into Christ's body, into His family. So I certainly love that about it.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there was obviously a lot there, and I was fiercely taking notes, but some of the stuff that came up for me, I think, related to the fact that everything in the Bible and everything that Jesus taught really makes sense when you think about it in the context of a family. And we live in a very sort of individualist society, and he made the point on in my father's house there's many rooms, and it's so easy to think of that as, well, you know, when I get to, you know, to the New Jerusalem, I'm going to have my own room, and you know, it'll have a DSTV or however you picture it, and just his explanation that what that really meant in the context of becoming part of a bigger family, and that it's all about togetherness. It was excellent. There's a lot of stuff there.
Again, I don't actually know the questions that we're going to be asked here, because I think one can most probably do a whole talk just on those couple of classes that was done. Because there's a whole array of things that stood out, and certainly a couple of them for me was. When Jesus said, "Your mom and your brothers and sisters are here," and He said, "Listen, yeah, who are my mother? Who are my sisters? Who are my brothers?" And saying that for Him, God's family is a lot more important than physical family. And I think one needs to be sensitive in how you communicate these things. But I think often I've felt like, well, geez, you know, but physical family is physical family. And that we need to be very sensitive with our physical family. And I still do believe that. But that it is without doubt that God's family should take priority number one. In every possible way. These are the people that we're going to be with in the long haul. These are the people that's going to cross the finish line with us into eternity. These are the people where we need to invest our time right now. And with whom, this I think was the other fascinating thing for me, with whom we need to be able to be gracious. I think of some of my family relationships where we blow with one another, or my brother and I would, but no matter what happens, he remains my brother. And I think I've felt a little bit embarrassed as I sat there thinking, but there's often been instances within the church where I've not treated people that way, where I've not thought, well, you know what, no matter what he has done or how he has done it, he remains my brother. And because he remains my brother, that is good enough. That is good enough. That is okay. And there's going to be grace because this is my brother. And again, that's just off the top of my head. That's some key things that stood out for me.
Okay. Obviously, you know, a lot of times we think of our spiritual family, and you know, we compare it with our physical family. And I think what certainly came up in the series was the need for daily interaction. What does that practically, you know, mean for us? You know, we don't stay in the same street. You know, life is busy. My cell phone bill is high as it is. How do we do this? How do we, you know, stay in contact? And you know, how do we get this right?
I would, James can maybe say more about the how if he likes. I would, and I've said this a number of times from the pulpit recently, is before we can get to the how, we need to see the need for that to happen. And I think because of various reasons, some good, some bad, I think we have ended up in a position where we see church family time as midweek, Sundays, and small group, and maybe if you're part of a Bible talk. And I think, and James and I was actually having a discussion earlier on, where we see church as a place that you drive to, a place that you go to, versus church is who we are. What we are doing right now, having this conversation, and as this recording finishes, we'll continue with some more conversations. That's church. And that cannot happen once a week. That cannot happen twice a week. That is something that we need to be able to realize, that if this is family, if I say my small group, and I want to particularly mention those words, my small group, it's hard to do family as a whole for 300 people. But my small group, if I say this is family, then I want to know on a daily basis, I want to be connected. I'm connected with my wife and kids every single day. Not because I have to, I don't see it as a duty. I desire to. I love them deeply. And as I read the scriptures, that's what I see. And I think that is what should distinguish us. Not that we're trying to distinguish ourselves, but what should distinguish us from the denominational and religious world is that church is not Sundays. Church is not small group. Churches every single day. It is who we are and not where we go.
Okay.
So I know that doesn't exactly answer your question. Maybe James is a wise man. Maybe he can speak into how that plays out on a day-to-day basis or what that means.
Well, I think one of the obviously agree wholeheartedly, and I think one of the aspects that if I again just think of my own family is I'll be out of the house for an hour or two, and I want to give my wife a call, even want to speak to my 2-year-old on the phone, and we have some interesting conversations. But there's the idea of just seeing people in corporate settings doesn't completely lend itself to intimate personal relationships. That there needs to be conversations on the phone. There needs to be a daily how you doing? How's this aspect? We spoke about this yesterday at small group. How are you feeling about it today? A 2-week gap, a week gap between get-togethers just is not going to create a family closeness like God wants from us. And there's many ways to go about doing it, but I think at the end of the day, the tools are there. It's just a case of having the heart to really make it part of your life.
What I would say on it as well, and again, I feel like a broken record on many of these subject matters, is that how it plays out daily is with intentionality. Meaning, and I think I've shared this in one of the classes, was the idea of Lisa and I want to have dinner with the kids around the table every night. That's the idea. But that rarely would happen unless we become exceptionally intentional about it. Unless it is a must for us as a family, and we say, listen, there's going to come little, I don't know, whatever, going after, not wanting for that to happen. We're tired, they're tired, it's chaos, it's a circus. It's all those different things, but we've got to be intentional. And I think it is the same concept where we've got to be intentional about developing this. We come from very different backgrounds. We are very different people, very different personalities. And we're going to have to go after being intentional about connecting with one another.
Yeah.
And being intentional about treating one another like family. If I can give you an example, and this might be so old for many of us, old hat, but yet I really see it apply. If I don't come home tonight, I think my wife would be concerned. If one of my kids does not come home after school, there would be panic.
Sure.
This morning, I woke up at around about 3 a.m. It sounded like something was running over the roof or in the house, whatever. But the first thing that jumps to mind is I immediately chase for my kids to make sure my kids are safe.
Yeah.
And that is everything was okay. And as I went and I lied back in bed, I thought, this is what it's all about. It's I need to keep my family safe. I mean, I thought something could have happened. Someone could have broken in.
Yeah.
But that same spirit is what we need to develop, and it's not going to be natural in our small groups. Where my brother doesn't come to church, there needs to be a sense of panic, not distrust, but a sense of, is she okay? A sense of care, a sense of, let me pick up the phone. As a matter of fact, I've not seen them in the fellowship. Let me step outside of the fellowship right now and call them to hear if they're okay. That's family. And I don't think that's weird for any of us on our home front. But yet when it comes to church, we feel like those kind of things aren't necessarily legalistic or maybe they'll be here next Sunday.
Okay. I think, you know, with being family and close, you know, being close-knit and, in daily contact, I think there's an...
So I'm going to back us up here just a little bit on this point again.
Sure.
Because I think this is important.
Sure.
And I do think that, James, we have an opportunity to mention something here.
Indeed.
Is I want to, for those of us listening, I want to challenge the small groups and small group leaders or the small group as a whole to sit down in a room around a table and figure out how to do this. To be able to say, what is that? How does this play out for us? What does this mean? What does regular contact mean for us? How do we want to do this? Paul speaks about, we shared with you not only the gospel but our lives as well. That how are we going to do all of this? Life is busy. How do we pray together? How do we make sure that we have fun together? How do we make sure that we go camping or that we just have meals together? How do we make sure that what sometimes happens is the scale sort of tips to one of two sides. Either it tips to the side of where there's no family at all, where we literally see each other small group on Sundays, or it tilts to the other side where we're a super sociable group. We go away together, we in each other's homes every day, we do stuff together we shouldn't even be doing, what have you. But it's more of a social setting than what it is a godly family, meaning that we are best friends, but before being best friends we're brothers, and as brothers there's a standard by which we live, and that first and foremost we are Christians, and that this is a Christian fellowship. Otherwise we become a social club. And a very nice social club at it, because I think that we are nice people. And I think because we aim to be like Christ, we learn to be socially savvy. We learn to be kind. We learn to listen to people. We learn to accept people. And I think it's a very easy setting to just slip in for social reasons.
Yeah.
And as a small group, what I want to say is sit down as a small group and figure out how do we make sure that we hit the balance right. That we don't become a group estranged from one another where we barely see each other except in these small group settings, church settings. How do we make sure that we don't just become a sociable group, but we're actually not involved in each other's lives? We think it, we see it, because let me tell you, in every small group there's someone thinking something. In every small group there's someone feeling unhappy about something. I'm not talking about an overly critical spirit. I'm talking about, we all know what James is up to. We all know he needs that haircut, but no one is saying anything. And now the spiritual haircut, we all know you need to pronounce here something, and we need to say something, and do it in a loving and a family a family way. No one is boss over the other. It is just out of love and concern. I do the best that I can to coach my kids because I want them to make it, and I want to set them up for the best possible future, relationally and spiritually and character-wise and heart that I can.
I think just to throw in there, I think it's also very as you look at possibly different family members that are going through different things, and Vanna brought up the idea of, you know, people maybe missing a marriage seminar, not coming to a midweek service, and there being possible red lights. I think within a small group, you know what's going on. I think often with people missing, you know that they're not going to be there. They haven't been there for a while, and I think one of the big things is absolutely their problems most probably with their situation that need to be addressed. But I think you need to be addressed in terms of to know that your brother or your sister is struggling spiritually or in a lukewarm state, and yet not to have said anything, had a sit down, have a serious conversation with them, is just not the spirit of family. And so, yeah, I think it's I think there's certainly a repentance needed on all sides. And as I've had some of these conversations recently around this subject, it's been wonderful to see the fruit of just a good, honest conversation. And I certainly agree with Ben and implore you, if you've noticed or you're in a situation like that, to actually do something about it.
Okay. Yeah, obviously this has been a mouthful. Maybe we can just, you know, have one more question. Just wanted to ask you guys, I get the idea of, you know, being close-knit and, you know, really be involved and connected in, you know, one another's lives. But I think there's an interesting tension in, you know, being in, you know, a community or a family. On the one hand, we're a family, we're very unique and, you know, identifiable, and we're a close-knit group. And on the other hand, we need to reach out, and we need to, you know, be radically inclusive of others, you know, especially, you know, being on the lookout, you know, for those that are far from God, or, you know, those that are different. How do we balance the two? How are we, you know, family and, you know, in each other's lives and connected, and, you know, how can we be radically inclusive, you know, on the other side, or at the same time, without losing the, you know, the connectedness and the, you know, just family part? So how are we family, and how do we reach out at the same time? How do we balance this?
Let me maybe jump in there first. I think one of the big mistakes that I've seen made, and certainly as I look back at different things I've made of myself, is actually seeing them as two different things versus one thing. I think Vanna mentioned it in the opening class, just the whole idea of, you know, that church, God gave us church, God gave us this community in order to be a blessing to the world, in order to reach out, in order to help people who are far from God become part of his family, part of his kingdom. And as soon as we separate, well, you know, right now we are building family, and, you know, later once, you know, this is right and that's right and we've had 10 brides, then we'll start to reach out. It's just missing the point that the church is reaching out. Church is a missional organism, as it were. And I think that certainly looking through the small groups and the Bible talks at the moment, the ones that I feel are doing great, it's all together. It is socializing with the heart of reaching out. It's including people. It's talking on a daily basis, just not just about what are my struggles and what are my temptations, but how's it going with reaching out to so-and-so? How's it going with us being inclusive of one another and crossing personality divides? And yeah, I think it's a package deal. And I think as soon as it, and Vanna mentioned this earlier, as soon as it becomes too lopsided and we are all about family and community and how can we be exclusive, then it's missing the point of being inclusive. And as soon as it becomes all business and no friendship, then all of a sudden, again, it loses connection. So,
Yeah,
that'll be a thought on that, I guess.
Okay.
From my side, when the church ceases to be missional, it ceases to be the church. And the reason for that is that I believe that God leaves us on earth to do work. The reason why God, James touched on it just now, when God said to Abraham in Genesis, I think it's Genesis 12, he says, listen, you know, I will bless you and you'll be a blessing. The whole point of the promised family was to be a blessing to the world. If we cease to be a blessing to the world, we cease to be the promised family.
Yeah.
Because that is the whole point of the church. The point of the church is to bring God's kingdom in heaven to earth, that we can taste it here, and that we are the body of Christ as we do this. And the other thing I would say on that as well is, there's nothing that bonds you like being in the battle together. And I'm sure the ladies won't connect too much to that, but anyone that has been on a hike together, anyone that has been on a done their first half marathon or marathon together, no matter where you come from. I remember being in the Navy and we did a walk on the beach with full gear, whatever, 60 kilometers. Day one, 60 kilometers. Day two, with people that I don't know from a bar of soap. Man, you bond like nothing else. And when we are together reaching out to people, when we are together studying the Bible with people, when we do the two-by-two thing as Jesus said, man, it bonds you in ways that personality can't. It bonds you in ways that the same background can't. It bonds you in a way because that is what makes us fully alive. Because that is what we were designed for in the first place. And if we live out what we were designed for, then we are fully us and fully the church. As then when people look to God and say, it can only be God. It must be Him. Who are these people? They must be from God.
Awesome. Guys, I think, you know, let's end there today. We can always, you know, do a take two or part two in, you know, new community. So thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next time. Thanks.
Amen. Cheerio.
Ciao. Bye.